Mitzvah Yud Gimel. Shelo Nachil es min haPesach li Yisrael Meshumid. That we should not feed any part of the Pesach to a Jew who is a Meshumid, which in contemporary parlance really refers to a Jew who has converted outside the religion, but really in ancient, in Talmudic Hebrew, Rabbinic Hebrew, it really refers to anyone who acts in a way not befitting a Jew. For example, a mishumid lechol trefos or something like that is someone who doesn't observe the mitzvah of eating kosher meat. And actually, this word was commonly replaced by Christian censors throughout rabbinic literature with the term mummer, which means someone who was changed or transmuted, maybe something like that. Like it's from the same shoresh as tamura, of when you want to replace one sacrificial animal with another, which you're not supposed to do. So it's a replacement, because literally the word mishumid, the root is shin mem dalid, which means destruction. So it didn't appeal to the Christians that we should call someone who doesn't behave in a manner befitting a Jew, and certainly someone who converts to Christianity, as someone who's destroyed. So therefore, this the term meshumid is frequently replaced by mummer. But you should know that everywhere in rabbinic literature that it says currently says in print editions mummer, it should really say meshumid. That's not the only place where the censors changed it. It was actually in Nusach Ashkenaz, at least, it was the original beginning of one of the brachos of Shmon Esrei. V'la mishuma dimal tehi sigva v'chol haminim kerega yavedu na v'chol arisha. So again, all these words were changed by the Christian censors, and then slowly worked its way into Jewish consciousness. Jewish printing houses had to have a Christian supervisor who was usually a mishumid himself, because who knew Hebrew, and he picked out all the offensive, quote unquote, offensive terms that were found in the book, and replaced them with more parv terms. Also, the term goy is always replaced by akum, which stands for Oved Kochavim Umazolo, someone who worships stars and constellations. Meaning, of course, the implication is that all the statements in Chazal that refer to non-Jews is not referring to, right, you know, good non-Jews, any non-Jew, only referring to non-Jews of those times who were backwards and primitive. Whereas, of course, the reading throughout rabbinic literature, wherever it says Akum, is supposed to be Goy. So I consider it to be a shanda that in contemporary printed editions of newly typeset the Gemara and other books, they often leave it in the censored way that still says Akum, and they just put a note at the beginning, oh, you should know that this is censored, and wherever it says Akum, it's really supposed to say Goy. That's it's very silly. Now that we don't have censors looking down our backs, Baruch Hashem, we should have print books the way the text is really supposed to be. They claim people get confused. They're not, for example, people are used to the term Amira La'akum, for they're not allowed to command or ask non-Jews to perform things for us on Shabbos. So they said it'll be confusing if you change it to Amira La'goy, because nobody's familiar with that term. So they get refamiliarized with the term the way it's supposed to be. It's not... Right, Shabbos Goy, anyway, is the phrase. So obviously we still use the word Goy, but because it's much harder for Christians to change the way people talk than to change the way it's printed in a book. So just some general klelim about censored texts that I always, for example, I always try to do it the original way, like when I make source sheets for my shiurim between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos afternoon, I always try to change the text back to the original version. Also, in the bracha of the Shmon Esrei, there are many rabbis who felt that one should uncensor it. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, among others, reported to have said the original version. V'la mishuma dim al tehi sigva v'chol haminim, all the heretics, also a term the Christians didn't like. Kerega yovedu v'chol oyvei amcha, all the enemies of your nations, your nation. Kerega yovedu umalchus zodon, and the evil empire. Meherat Sakir Shaberes Magir of Sachnin Rav Yamenu, etc. That was the original Ashkenazi version in any case. Malchus Zadon, of course, originally referring to Rome, but nowadays any government that persecutes the Jews. Shelo Nachil Min HaPesach LeYisrael Mishomid. We should not feed any of the Paschal offering to a non-Jew who's off the path. A Jew who's off the path. Shenemar, as it says, Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochabo. Any foreigner should not eat from the Korban Pesach. Uva HaPerush Alav. It seems to be some sort of received tradition of interpreting it, exactly what this means. Ben Yisrael shenisnakru masav le'aviv shebashamayim. I'm not literally a foreigner, but a Jew whose deeds have become foreign to his father in heaven. V'chein tirgem unklos. That is also the translation of unklos into Aramaic. Kol bar Yisrael deyishtamad. Any Jew who will shmad himself, will make himself a mishumid, is under the prohibition of kol ben nechar lo yochabo. It's a little bit of a discussion exactly what kind of mishumid are we talking about. It's not exactly clear from the Gemara, apparently, if we're talking about only a real mishumid who worships Avodah Zarah, or we're talking about even someone who's mishumid l'chalal Shabbos, who violates the Sabbath intentionally, who in general we consider to have his same halachic status, as I pointed out before, as a non-Jew, or a specific or not. So that's a little bit of an unsettled question, and exactly what the type of mishumid we're talking about here is a little, we still have to work hard to figure out. But in any case, it's not so relevant, because most people who are mishumid probably wouldn't want to eat Korban Pesach anyway. We don't have Korban Pesach nowadays, at least for the time being, so we still have time to figure out exactly what to do about this. Well, he's chayev not to be a mishumid, but if he has to be a mishumid, then...
So if he's a mishumid, is he still chayev in the Korban Pesach? Like, how can you take away a chiyuv as long as he's still Jewish?
Right, he's still Jewish, so he is chayev to bring Korban Pesach, but he's not allowed to eat it. It calls man that he's a mishumid, yeah. And he's not, he can't be a mishumid. That's the answer. That's a contradiction with the whole Torah. So technically he's still chayev, but he has to, in order to eat it, he has to become not a mishumid. But he has to become not a mishumid in the first place. So it's a whole circle. Mishor shei mitzvah zo, what is the reasoning for this mitzvah? Mashikosu bishchitoso, again, same thing as in Shechting Korban Pesach, lezecher nisei mitzrayim, for the remembrance of the miracles that occurred in Egypt. Ve'al kein, so that's the reason, roi shelo yochal bo mishumid, that it's appropriate, it's inappropriate rather, that a mishumid should eat from the Korban Pesach. Achar she'anu osin oso lo'osu zikaron, shebanu bo'osu hazman lachasos tachas kanfei hashchina. Because we perform the Korban Pesach as a sign and a remembrance that at that time that we left Egypt, we got protected under the wings of God's presence. V'nichnasnu bevris ha-Torah v'hamuna. We enter the covenant of Torah and belief in God. So, ein roi, it's not appropriate, shenachil yimenu l'mishu hefech mizeh, that we should feed from the Korban Pesach to someone whose ideals are completely the opposite of what the Korban Pesach represents. It's pretty straightforward. Sheyotza min haklal v'chofar ba'emuna, that he left the general status of the Jewish people, and he denied the faith that the Jewish people are supposed to have. What does it sound like? Sounds like the Ben Russia at the Seder, of course. Ben Russia is still taking part in the Seder. So he just doesn't get to eat the Korban Pesach, yeah. So at that time, right, the Mishumadim were separated automatically because they died during Choshech, right? So this wasn't applicable in the first Korban Pesach because anyone who wasn't appropriate to eat it would have not been around to celebrate. Yeah, good point. Bel kayotze bezeh ne'emar b'talmud lif'amim svarahu. On stuff like this, sometimes it says in the Gemara, it's just a straightforward logical conclusion. It's not that you have to derive it from hermeneutic principles of interpreting the Torah, but rather it's a straightforward svara. Kilomar ve'ein tzarech raya cheres. There's no, you don't need to bring proofs for it. It's just a straightforward thing. So this is sort of, even though there is a pasuk that talks about this, that we're not allowed to feed the Korban Pesach to Yisrael Meshumid, still, it seems to be very straightforward, more than other mitzvahs of the Torah. It makes tons and tons of sense. Minoheges bizchar muvin kevos. It doesn't matter if it's a mishumad or a mishumedet. We're an equal opportunity exclusionary of mishumadim in Judaism. Bizman abayeshe sham pesach. Obviously, it's only applicable in a time where there is a korban pesach, and we discussed before whether the korban pesach is only when there's actually a standing at Beis HaMikdash. You could even bring the korban pesach when there's not a Beis HaMikdash standing. The over aleha, if you violate this commandment, v'hechil mimenu leven nechar, and you fed some of the korban pesach to a meshumed, who is called in the Torah a ben nechar, a foreigner, over alav, you violated a negative commandment. And what do you expect the punishment for a negative commandment to be? Just no. Now, v'ein bo malchus l'fi she'ein bo maisa. This does not incur the penalty of malchus because there's no maisa. But this is difficult because why should there be no maisa? If you hand it to a mishumet to eat, seemingly that's considered to be a maisa. So, one? Right, if you hand it and he eats it himself, so it could be argued there's no maisa. But if you stuff it down his throat, still, it's not you. It's not really you who's doing the thing. There's no, it's really, the chalos isser is on his eating it. It's not on anything you, I mean, again, you're not allowed to give it to him to eat, but you have to work on it to figure out exactly why they call this alav shein bo maisa. But in any case, that is what it says here. So the next mitzvah is mitzvah Yud Daled. Shelo, the 14th mitzvah. Shelo nachil min ha-pesach leger uvetoshav. We should not, again, just as we're not allowed to feed the Pesach to a meshumet, we're not allowed to feed it to a sojourner and a resident. So that's the literal translation, but we're going to find out what Chazal tell us this means when we discuss this mitzvah. Shelo lahachil mi besar ha-pesach leger uletoshav. We should not feed from the meat of the Pesach to a ger or a toshav. Shenemar toshav v'sachir lo yochabo. The pasuk says a resident or a hired worker, sachir. Again, it's not, again, we see already a difference between the simple meaning of the verse and what the mitzvah is. Lo yochabo. Ve'atoshav hu adam min ha'umos shekibel alav shelo lavod avodah zara ve'ochel nevelos. A toshav is what we refer to as the concept of ger toshav, that midaraisa, there are two levels of converting to Judaism. One is a ger toshav that was described here, which is you accept that he accepts on himself, or he or she accepts on him or herself, not to worship avodah zara. They accept that the Jewish religion is true and that they're going to observe the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, of the seven Noahide laws. But he's still allowed to break Jewish ritual mitzvahs, such as he's allowed to eat nevelos. He can go into the store and buy regular meat and doesn't have to worry about buying kosher meat. He doesn't keep Shabbos, etc. But he accepts that the Jewish religion is correct, and he wants to live like a proper, accepts upon himself that he wants to live the proper Goyish lifestyle that the Jewish religion dictates for those who are not Jewish, which is...
Do we have a Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh?
We don't have Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh because there's a rule that there's only Ger Toshav when we perform Yovel, when we have the 50th year, like the Jubilee year. Yeah.
The sons of Noah.
The sons of Noah, right. Everyone's a son of Noah. Anyway, non-Jews have to observe seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But we're talking about, you know, a specific person who comes and he lives in Eretz Yisrael or something, and he says explicitly that he wants to keep the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and he's not going to worship Avodah Zarah, which is one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So he's just a formally declared Ger Toshav. Whereas, of course, all non-Jews have to observe the seven mitzvahs of seven Noahide laws. V'sachir, how did the Chazal explain what sachir is, a hired worker? So they don't explain it like that. They explain it as hu ger shemal velo toval, a halfway convert. Second level, of course, beyond being a ger toshav, is someone who actually converts to Judaism, which is called a ger tzedek, a righteous convert. So once, for a woman, obviously, doesn't have circumcision, but once a woman goes to a bez din, a court, and declares her intention to observe all the mitzvos, then she immerses in the mikvah, then she becomes completely Jewish. She becomes a ger tzedek. But and for a man, of course, there's another step, which is that the man has to undergo circumcision, or if he's already circumcised, he has to have hatafas dam bris, a symbolic drawing of a drop, symbolic drawing of a drop of blood. So, but there is, this obviously cannot be possible for a woman, but for a man, there's a halfway step towards between being non-Jewish and being Jewish, which is that he had his circumcision already, but he is not yet immersed in the mikvah. So there he's in a sort of limbo. He's not completely Jewish till he immerses in the mikvah, but he's sort of halfway. But even so, he declared, of course, his intention that he wants to become Jewish and he wants to observe all the mitzvos, but he just didn't go to the mikvah yet. So that, the Shekein Pershu Chachomim Zichronim Livracha, that's how they explain a sachir. So if a sachir isn't allowed to eat Korban Pesach, even someone who's closer to being Jewish than just about anyone else, certainly someone who's completely not Jewish from a Kal V'chomer would certainly not be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Yeah.
Is there like a mikvah?
In a conversion process, what's the amount of time between circumcision and the immersion in the mikvah? I mean, technically, there's no set period of time, usually. I mean, the way it's presented in literature is just as soon as the wound heals, then you would go to the mikvah because you wouldn't want to delay it. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe, certainly b'dieved, that there's...
No, but he couldn't go that day then.
Is the fact that you have to wait for the wound to heal a halachic thing that the tefillah? I don't think so. I think it's just practical. He's not going to want to go to the mikvah until he's already healed. I don't think it's a halachic thing. I mean, if he did, he was going to get the mikvah all bloody. It's going to be disgusting. So, not a good idea. Mishor she mitzvah zo. What is the reasoning behind this mitzvah? Just as we wrote in the other mitzvahs having to do with Korban Pesach, Lizkor Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Uvavur shekorban zel zecher cheruseinu uvoenu bebris ne'amonai Hashem Yisbarach. And since that this sacrifice is to, as a remembrance of our freedom and our coming into a covenant, faithful covenant im Hashem Yisbarach, Roy Shelo Yehanubo, the only people who should get benefit from the Korban Pesach as a remembrance of this. Rak Osam Shehishlimu Ba'emuna. So only people who are complete in their devotion and belief in God, as the Jewish people were in that time. In other words, Vehem Yisraelim Gimurim, completely Jewish people. People who are, it's funny, you know, sort of like being a little bit pregnant. You can't, as people, you know, use that as a melitza for something that you can't be halfway, so you can't be a little bit Jewish. Either you're Jewish or you're not. So there is sort of, as I said, Zagera Shemal Velo Tavel at his circumcision and didn't go to the mikvah is sort of Yisrael She'eino Gomor, because he's well on his way, he's not completely Jewish yet. Velo Elu She'adayin Lo Bo B'Ris Sholem Imanun, and not people who didn't come to a complete covenant with us, shouldn't get any benefit from Korban Pesach. It's just not for them. It doesn't make sense. V'inyan harchokas ha'orel me'achila, so gam ken mizeh sharish. We didn't get there yet, but there's also a prohibition that even a full Jew who has not been circumcised may not eat the Korban Pesach. So since this is also somewhat of a lack of total submission to the covenant, it's also not appropriate for an uncircumcised Jew to eat from the Korban Pesach. So that's also for this reason. V'nohegis bizman habayis v'zchar muv'nikevos. This is applicable in the times of the Beis HaMikdash with male and female. V'over aleha v'hechil elu. If you violate this and you feed it to a halfway convert or a ger toshav, then over Allah, you violated a negative commandment. Ve'ein lokin alav shein b'maisa. Same deal as the last one, that you do not receive the penalty of lashes because it's not considered to be a fully active violation of a negative commandment. The next mitzvah.
I'll go back to you now. We just leave Gimel. Should be a Dalit.
We're on Tesvav 15.
Oh.
Shelo lehotzi mi besar ha-pesach chutza. Not to take any of the meat of the korban pesach outside. So what does outside mean? Shelo lehotzi mi besar ha-pesach mi mokom ha-chavura. Not to take the meat of the korban pesach out from the place where the group that is designated for this korban pesach. Every korban pesach has to belong to a particular group of people who register in advance for this korban pesach. So in the place that you're not allowed to take the korban pesach out from the place that these people are eating it. Shenemar lo sotzi min habayis min habasar chutza. You should not take any of the meat out of the house. That's a different one. Mishor she mitzvah zo, ma shekosavnu l'zecher nisei Mitzrayim. The reasoning for this mitzvah is, again, for remembrance of the miracles of Egypt. Umipnei she na'asinu adonim, we became masters instead of slaves. Ba ha-mitzvah olav shehei nechal b'mokom ha-chavura. That's the reason for that. I mean, that's the reason that the meat has to be eaten in the place of the chavura, that the place that the people who are registered for this korban pesach designate to eat it. Below notziyuhu lachutz, we can't take it outside. Kederech malchei eretz, like flesh and blood kings. Shekol hamuchan lahem nechal beheicholam berov am shel lahem. In other words, if you want to eat from the king's food, you better hope you get invited to his party. He's not going to send you a doggy bag. He's not going to send you food to eat in your own house. If a poor person prepares a big meal, they're going to send some food from it to their friends. It's so rare for a poor person to be able to prepare a huge feast that he's going to be so excited that he's going to send some portions to his friends. So that's why in Korban Pesach we act like kings, we act like masters, we act like we're the balabatim. So that's the reason that we have to eat it in one place and can't take any, we can't send out any doggy bags.
Well, I remember learning in Sukkim, I think it was in the Maharsha, but maybe I'm wrong, that our minhag of opening the door for Shulchan Aruch is originally to show that from now on, in our observance of the Seder, which is Zechar, the Mikdor talks over for the Korban Pesach, that you were allowed to go out of the house. So that if this were a Seder at the Zman of the Mikdor, at this point in the Seder, you would be allowed to go out of your Chabura.
Oh.
You finished the Korban Pesach, you have benched like a chuyit, okay?
Dine ha-mitzvah, kigon ma dino shel basar kishe yatza l'chutz, what happens when the meat leaves, then you cannot eat it anymore, because there was an iser performed with it. Ve'ahekev shetzricha chavura lasos, each chavura has to have a designated place separated by some sort of partition between it and another chavura. V'din mechitza shenifritza b'ina chaburos. What happens if the partition gets breached in between two different chaburos? V'yeser apratim, the rest of the details, mevar mipsachim, asechas psachim, of course. V'nuhegis v'zman abayis, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, v'zchar mevkevos, male and female, v'over alev, v'otzi min abasar l'chutz, over alav. And if you violated this and you took some meat out, then you violated a negative commandment, v'lokin alav. This now is a lav sheish b'maisa because it's you're actively taking meat out. So it's actually fascinating because you think that this has nothing to do with anything about Shabbos. You think that if you elbowed the meat outside the chavura, then that would equally be taking the meat outside, because that all the Torah is, if the Torah is makbid on that the meat has to stay in place, so who cares how you took it out? But in fact, it's the halacha here is the same as by Shabbos. So same as by Shabbos, if you, in order to be chayiv, in order to receive a penalty for the malacha of hotzah, of transferring an object from the public domain to the private domain and vice versa, or four amos within the, four cubits within the public domain, you have to perform two steps, which is one is akira, One is removing the object from its resting place in one of the domains, and hanocha, you take it out and rest it in the other domain. If you pick it up and you hand it to someone else and the other person puts it down, so that's still aser midarabanan. Still, you're certainly not allowed to do that on Shabbos, but you would, unless you complete the entire action, that would be, that you would not be liable for the penalty of skila or karis or whatever. So the same thing here. You have to pick the Pesach up from the place of the Chabura, take it outside the place of the Chabura, and put it down in order to receive the penalty of lashes for performance of this Isser. Would the size be the same as Shabbos? In other words, on Shabbos, you're only chayev if you take a certain shear. And
would
that's,
it be any amount, or would it be
this? I would assume it is a kezias, but... Right, it's not an Isser Achila, but still, it's a minimum amount of food.
But what's the shear for the Isser Hatzah on Shabbos?
The shear for the Isser Hatzah on Shabbos depends on the object. It has to be an object that's usable in the state it is. So, for example, the Mishnah says that if you're taking out, if you're transferring klaf from the private domain to the public domain or vice versa, then the minimum shear is the amount that it would take to write Parsha Shema. So Parsha Shema is the shortest Parsha that's included in Tfilin, so that's the smallest use that you'd ever have for klaf. So if you take a tiny, tiny scrap of klaf, even if you lift it up out of your house and you walk onto the street and you put it down, you would not be chayev. You'd not be liable for punishment. The minimum usable amount is a... But I don't know if that far the halachos are extended from Shabbos to here. So I don't know. Okay. Good question. Okay, the next mitzvah, mitzvah 16, shelo lishbor etze min ha-pesach, which not break bones from the korban pesach. Shelo lishbor etze mikol atzmos ha-pesach, we should not break any bone from any of the bones of this paschal offering. Shenemar ve'etzem lo sishbrovo, you shall not break any bone in it. Mishorshi ha-mitzvah, we're on 16, Tezayin. Mishor Sheha Mitzvah, Lizkor Nise Mitzrayim, again to remember the miracles of Egypt, Kemoshe Kosavnu Bacheros, as we wrote in the other mitzvahs having to do with Korban Pesach. Vegamze, Gizo Min Hashoresh Hanizkar. He was using poetic language here, that he calls the reasoning for the mitzvah Shor Sheha Mitzvah, the roots, literally the roots of the mitzvah. So he says that this mitzvah, the reasoning for this mitzvah, its trunk is from the roots that we've already explained. She'ein kavod livnei melachim v'yotzei eretz ligarer ha'atzamos l'shabrim kichlovim. It's not, it's just unrefined for princes, yotzei eretz, and viziers to scrape the bones and to break them like dogs who are searching for the last minute portion of food. Below Yos Lasos Kacha, Kim La Nie Ha'amar Evim, that only poor, hungry people break bones in search of extra food. Balkane, Bitchilas Bo'enu Lihos Gulas Kol Ha'amim Amleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, in the beginning when God's designating us as the chosen people, so to speak, the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Uvechol shana v'shana be'oso azman, and we remember this in every year at the same time as originally God designated us as such. Roy lanu lasos maisim hamarim banu hamala hagedola she'alinu la be'oso shah. We're supposed to act in a very dignified and refined way that reflects our priestly, kingly status. And we shouldn't do things that are unbecoming. Umitoch ha-maisa va-dimyon shanachnu osim, and through this action and copying of the ancient ways that we do, nikba benav shoseinu ha-davar la-olam, since we, in every year, we show ourselves again, b'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros etzatzmo kilu yotzo mimitzrayim, that through total immersion of ourselves in the repetition and the imitation of the way that we were in those times, it's really going to drill it into us the message that that we're the chosen nation. And now he's going to go on a little monologue to his son. Very cute. Ve'al tachshov b'ni, my son, don't think. Litpos al dvarai v'lomar, don't think you're going to catch me and say. Ve'lama ze yitzave osanu Hashem yizbarach la'asos kol eila zikarno so anis. Why is God telling us to do all these things as a remembrance of that miracle? Ve'alo b'zikaron echad ya'ale ha'davar. Be sufficient to do one remembrance. B'machshav teinu. Ve'lo yishkach mi'pizareinu. And we still, even if we did one thing every year, it wouldn't, our children wouldn't forget that we went out of Egypt and received the Torah. Kilo mechachma tispeseni alze. You will not think that you, with your imagined wisdom, you will not catch me on this. Umachsheves hanar yasiacha ledaber kain. Your youthful thinking will lead you to say such things. So just like they say now that a person's brain is not fully formed until, I think, the mid-20s. So he says your brain just doesn't work the same way as a older person's. Ve'ata b'ni imbina shimazos. That if there is understanding here, listen to this. Ve'ate oznecha u'shma, that's a pasuk in Iyov, by the way. Ba'teos necha u'shma, I'm sure you remember it from Rabbi Block's shirim. And lend forth your ear and listen. Alamedcha lehoel b'toru v'mitzvos. I will teach you to be act well with Torah and commandments. Da, no, ki adam nifal kifi pu'losav. These are all very famous catchphrases in medieval Jewish literature that we copy nowadays. That a person is ticks according to his actions. V'libo v'chol machshevosav tamid achar masav, and your heart and all your thoughts always follow your actions, shehu oseh bahem, that you do with it. Im tov v'im ra, whether for good or evil. V'afilu rasha gomor bilvavo, even a completely wicked person in his heart. V'chol yetzer machshevos libo rak rak ol hayom, and all he's thinking all day long is bad thoughts. Im yare rucho, if his spirit will awaken him. The yosem ishtad luso, the osko basmada betor v'mitzvos. So you just decide, you know, let me give this a try. Let me go to yeshiva. Let me sit and learn all day long. And we'll see if it has any effect on me. Vafilu shelo l'shem shemayim. Even if you don't do this for the sake of God, you just do it because you want to change or you think you'll look better or whatever. Miyad yinote el hatov. It says immediately, which is very interesting. Immediately, he will change his behavior for the good. Uvekoach masav yomis hayetzahara. And from his actions, he will kill the evil inclination. Ki acharei ha-peulos nimshachim alavavos. Because the hearts are drawn after the actions. Very interesting. So even if you don't have the proper intentions, better you should still, again, as we know from Chazal who say, Mitoch shelo lishma balishma, even if you don't do things with the proper intentions originally, the fact that you're doing it will eventually lead you to perform the action with the proper intention as well. So it's at least a good idea to try to perform the actions in the proper way. Vafilu im ye odam tzadik gomor elvavo yashar vitamim. Even if someone will be a completely righteous person and his heart is honest and pure, chafetz b'torah v'mitzvos, you want to perform Torah and mitzvos, im ulai yasok tamid b'dvarim shel dofi, if you decide to focus your attention instead on other things, ki'ilu tomar derech mashal, so well, let's give an analogy, she'ichricho ha'melech u'mino b'umnus ra, so let's say the king said, you have to perform this bad task for me, this bad profession. Bemes im kol osko tamid kol yom bos umnus. Let's say you're always dealing all day with this bad asek, this bad profession, this bad
business.
Fine. Yoshuv lizman min azmanim mitzidkas libo. Here he doesn't say miyad. He doesn't say immediately. He says eventually. Bizman min azmanim mitzidkas libo lios rosh agamur. You'll change from being righteous to being a total wicked person. Ki yodua hadavar, the MS, it's known and true, shekol adam nifal kifi pe'ulosav, that every single person, don't say that you're an exception, every single person ticks, is made to run, kifi pe'ulosav, according to his external actions, kimosha marnu, as we say. Valkein Omru Chachamim Zichrono Levracha. This is the reason that our sages tell us. Ratzah Hamakom Lezakos Es Yisrael. The God wanted to give benefits to the Jewish people, merits to the Jewish people. Lefika Chirbol Hem Toro Mitzos. For that reason, he gave us a lot of commandments. Kidei Lahaspis Bohen Komach Shivosenu V'Leyos Bohen Kol Asakenu. So he wants to give us the chance, really, to have our entire attention focused on the mitzvos and not on anything else as much as possible. Ulehetiv lanu b'achariseinu. And then he's going to be good to us in the end. Ki mitoch ha'pulos ha'tovos, from doing the good actions, anu nif'alim lios tovim, we are made to act well. Because if we really condition ourselves to just perform mitzvos and think in Torah all the time, we're going to end up with good intentions in our heads as well. V'zochim l'chayyad. And we will get Olam Haba, afterlife. Because that's the condition. When we observe the Torah, we get the afterlife. If not, not. V'ram zuch zichronim livracha al zeh. The sages hinted to this. Kol mi sheyesh lo mezuzah v'pischo v'tzitzis b'vigdo tefillin b'rosho, muvtach lo shelo yechta. Anyone who has a mezuzah on his doorpost and tzitzis on his garment and tefillin in his head, he should rest assured that he won't sin. L'fi she'elu mitzvos t'midios v'nifal behen tomid. Because these are omnipresent mitzvos, they're continuous mitzvos, and he will be reminded of them, and they'll cause him to act well all the time. I don't know, maybe people would act better if they were tefillin all day. There is a famous Rambam where he says that tefillin actually make you more righteous, that the act of wearing them makes you more righteous. And I think I mentioned this, I said a shir the other week between Mincha Marav about tefillin, and there actually was some article, I have no idea the scientific accuracy of this, but that it said that tefillin stimulate acupuncture points that make you feel more spiritual. So if they make you feel more spiritual, then it's understandable that it what the Rambam says, that if you're wearing them, you're less likely to sin just by virtue of wearing them. So that is interesting. But the main reason we don't wear tefillin all day anymore is for a couple of reasons. One is that tefillin nowadays are much bigger than they were in the times of Chazal. So it's more uncomfortable to go about one's daily activities. Also, would look funny. If you had really tiny tefillin, it would be easier to hide them under a hat or under your jacket or something, but it's very hard to hide them appropriately if you're going about in the Goyisha business world. And also because there is a separate, it works both ways. Just as tefillin is supposed to have a good effect on you, you're supposed to have a good effect on it, and you're not supposed to have improper thoughts or do things you're not supposed to do, certainly not talk Lashon Hara or anything like that when you're wearing tefillin. So since people cannot be so careful all day long to maintain the proper holiness that tefillin deserve, that's the reason that we limit them to wearing them in the morning prayer service. Also because that's when we say Kriya Shema, and it's considered extra important to say Kriya Shema wearing tefillin, because that's where it contains the commandment of tefillin. So if you say the Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, then the Chazal have a phrase that says, it's like you're a false witness against yourself. Here you're reciting with your mouth the commandment to wear tefillin, you're not doing it. So it's a big tine on you if you're not wearing tefillin. So that's why pretty much we only wear tefillin nowadays during Tefillah Shacharis. But you're not chayv in tefillin at night. Laila is not, we don't wear tefillin at night anyway. It's like on Shabbos, we say Kriya Shema on Shabbos. So the only one of these three mitzvos, mezuzah, tzitzis, and tefillin, that really one is really applicable 24/7 is mezuzah. Because tzitzis technically is only during the daytime or with a garment that you wear during the day. Tefillin is certainly only during the day. And, but mezuzah is really there all the time. Tefillin is also not on Shabbos, obviously. Of course, there have been people throughout history who wanted to restore the original practice of wearing tefillin all day. Most prominently, the Vilna Gaon was known to wear tefillin all day, and he used to encourage people to wear tefillin all day, and if you can't get away with wearing both tefillin, you should just wear the shalyad, because that's easier to hide. He said, but still, better to wear both tefillin all day. And he said, you could go about your normal business, you just can't do any sins and talk Lashon Hara. And I guess for the Vilna Gaon, it was easy. You go the whole day without doing this. But for most people, it's not worth it. Also, Rabbi Scheinberg, I think, used to wear tefillin all day. Probably talks about this. There's a biography of him out now. You could see sometimes pictures that he has. You could see carefully, if you look in the back of his head, you could see straps running down. Anyway. L'chein ata, rei gam rei ma melachtecha v'asakecha, ki achareyam timoshech v'ata lo sim shechem. You should see well what is your work and your deeds, because you will be pulled after them, and you won't pull them. Don't think you're going to have an effect on them. Really, what you do is going to have an effect on you. That your evil inclination should not sway you or promise you, falsely promise you to say, I believe in God. I'm religious. What's so bad if occasionally I enjoy myself? I sit around in the marketplaces, in the streets, lis lotzeitzim aleitzim, to clown around with the clowns, lodaber tzachos, and just shmooz, v'chayotzi be'elu ha'dvarim, she'ein revi'in aleihem ha'shamos v'chatos. They're not sins. You can't open up the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam and say, oh, this is forbidden, you can't do it. You have to use your seichel. So what is it? Why is it so bad if I enjoy myself sometimes? Halugam li levav kamohem. I'm just as strong as they are. I have a heart like them. Kodni avem imosneim. Borrowed from the Tanakh, of course, this phrase. My little finger is fatter than their hips and their loins. Umadua yimshechuni heimachrim. Why should they pull me? I can hold my own. Albini. Don't listen to this. Hishomer mipneim pentilochet birishtam. Be very careful lest you be caught up in their net. Rabim shasu mitoch kach kos tarelosam. Lots of people drank from this, their poison cup. Ve'atoas nafshecha tatzil. You should be careful to save your own soul. Okay, so I guess according to Sefer HaChinuch, you can't go to the movies. I don't know. I mean, again, you have to have a balance here, because I assume he's not saying that you can never unwind and you can't relax ever, but you can't, I guess, intentionally put yourself in a position of people who, of lowlifes, I guess, of people who just hang out and are not productive with their lives. After you know this, it shouldn't be difficult in your eyes. That there's so many mitzvos helping us to remember the miracles of Egypt. Shein amud gadol b'toraseinu. They are a great pillar. They are a mainstay of the whole Torah. Ki birvos asakenu b'em nispalel hadavra. The more we deal with the miracles of Egypt, the more we will be drawn. We will have our actions and our thoughts geared to it. Kimosha Marino, as I said. Okay? Dine ha-mitzvah. The halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. Kigon shover etzem imenu afilu achar zman achiloso. That if you, what happens if you break a bone in it even after the end of the night? You can only eat the Pesach on the night of the 15th of Nisan. So let's say the next morning you break a bone, you're also not allowed to do that. So that's why, by the way, that Sefer HaChinuch, we'll discuss it later, but that's why, that's part of the reason that we burn anything that's left of the Korban Pesach, is so you shouldn't, you shouldn't get it a takala, nobody should accidentally or whatever break a bone.
When they burn the Korban Pesach,
V'dinim yesh kezayis basar alav madino. So really, you're only liable for breaking bones that have some meat in them or some marrow. They have to have kezias in them. If they don't have this, then you're not liable for breaking them. V'din, because really the whole point is that you're not supposed to go after the little bits of meat that are found on or in the bones, because you're supposed to act like a king and not act like a poor person. So I think some people have the minhag that on Seder night, they don't break, chew chicken bones. They don't break the chicken bone to get the marrow inside. Okay, as a zecher for Korban, this halacha that's in Korban Pesach. So, well, on one hand, you might say that's a cute minhag. On the other hand, you might say you bedafka should break the bones to show that this is not Korban Pesach. Not that anyone would think that a chicken is Korban Pesach. But still, we do a lot of things on Seder night to make sure that nobody thinks that you're eating Korban Pesach. So, anyway, but certainly not a halacha that you're not allowed to break the bones of other things on Seder night in the times of the Beis HaMikdash or otherwise. V'din ha-schosim v'gidim harakim shesofan liskashos. And what's the din of schosim? Schosim are edible bones. So if it's a bone that just gets cooked and it doesn't really have meat on it, you don't break it and eat it. You just chew the bone with the meat. It's a tiny little bone. So it's permissible to eat those. But the only problem is if you break a real hard bone that either has meat on it or has meat inside. It's talking also if you designate in advance who's going to get which part of the Korban Pesach, if you can say that I'm going to get that part in advance, it's a discussion. V'yeser prata and the rest of the details, mevarim mipsachim, are explained in the tractate Psachim, Ruhagis, Bizcharm of Nikevos, Bizman Abayas. It's applicable to males and females in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Rover, Alea, Veshavar, Etzem, Pesach, Tahor, Loka. You violate this mitzvah and you break a bone in a Pesach that is pure, you receive the penalty of lashes. Now again, it seems that it's only for a Pesach that is brought impurity. There are times when most of the Jewish people are impure, and you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach in a state of tumah, in a state of impurity. So in that case, one would not be liable for lashes in a Korban Pesach that is brought in impurity. Mitzvah Yudzayin Shelo Yochal Orel Min HaPesach. The one we've all been waiting for. Which is that an uncircumcised Jew should not eat from the Korban Pesach. I've heard some Hasidim say that Litvaks won't be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach when Mashiach comes because they're all Arelim because they didn't have Mitzitza B'peh. It's a little ridiculous. Anyway, Shelo Yochal Ha'arel Min HaPesach. That Shenemar Kol Orel Lo Yochal Bo, that any uncircumcised person should not eat from the Korban Pesach. So interesting here that Minchas Chinuch points about also that someone who's have uncertain gender, which is called in rabbinic literature a tumtum, also cannot eat Korban Pesach because he might in fact be male, and of course he's not circumcised if his genitals are not visible. So that is that would be a problem if someone is of uncertain gender. Also, there's a discussion regarding if you're born circumcised, whether that is considered to, it's a difference of opinion, whether that is considered to be not an Orel. An Orel is only someone with a foreskin. Or if you're, even though you still have to have a hatofas dam bris in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mila, maybe you're not actually an aral, so you're still allowed to eat the korban pesach. So v'chol aral lo yochal bo. That's what it says in the pasuk. V'hu ha'aral shemesu echav machmas mila. So obviously vein tzarich lomar mishum edlo arlos. That's what we said before. That an Orel whose brothers died from the circumcision wound, and therefore he is exempt from the mitzvah of circumcision, even he is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and certainly someone who intentionally doesn't believe in circumcision, doesn't believe in circumcising his children, of course, is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, certainly as a Kal V'chomer. Uvo... uvohu deino ochel, aval ochel hu b'matzah u'morer. So it's only specifically the Korban Pesach that he doesn't eat, but it doesn't apply to matzah and morer. V'chein toshav v'sachir gamkein is someone who's a ger toshav or a non-Jew who's in the process of converting. Also, he's perfectly allowed to take part of the Korban Pesach celebrations and eat the matzah and the maror, but he's just not allowed to eat the sacrifice itself. Mishor shemitzvah zo mashikosavnu betoshav v'sachir, same reasoning as in the toshav and sachir. Dinei ha-mitzvah, kigon milas banav avodav, imak v'noso lishchot v'lecho ha-pesach. It's not even if you're not circumcised, but if you're responsible for the circumcision of someone who's required to be circumcised, then you have to do it, and you haven't done it yet, you're also not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. V'yeser prateh b'psachem. V'nagez b'zman ha-bayis. It's applicable in times of Yisamikdash. V'over aleha, kigon orel, shachot kezayis mena. If you're an orel, obviously, a religious Jew who's an Aral, otherwise you're not going to want to eat the Korban Pesach. If you're a religious Jew who's exempt from the mitzvah of circumcision for whatever reason, you receive the penalty of lashes.